Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Pray. Time of consecration. You know, God does things to make you pray. You understand? I got on my job, and all of a sudden I realized I don't know how to drive this thing. I know how to drive a car, but I don't know nothing about 40 feet and 60 feet of car. And so I'm driving, and I felt fear. And I start thinking about the poor people on the bus. And I said, if they only knew how the driver felt. And so I got pondering. I said, what can I do? I started praying. I said, Lord, you know what? You got me in this position. So you're going to have to take complete control. And so I said, teach me how to do this. And so he spoke to me. He said, listen, this stripe on the left-hand side, ain't nothing you can do about this stripe right here, the stripe 10 feet in front of you, and nothing you can do about the stripe behind you. You need to look 100 feet down the road and center yourself on that 100 feet, and everything else will follow. And I start doing that, and I begin to think, that's the way life is. You need to keep your eye on Jesus down the road. And if you, as long as you keep your eye on him, you'll stay in your lane. Amen? And that is the concept that has proven to me on how to survive this. Because after all of that, the other scripture came up and said, God does not give you the spirit of fear, but what? A sound mind. Fear makes you crazy. You get fearful, and you'll do crazy things. Amen? I drive across both the bridges 6 times a day, starting at 5:12 in the morning and ending up sometimes 7:30 at night. And the optimal way of looking at the road is not the best times in the morning, and it sure ain't the best times in the evening with all the other people. But if you keep your eye on Jesus, because I pray. And I got this little game I play, Pastor. When people before I start out, I had church. You know, I give praise. I sing all the songs. I don't wait for nobody to sing nothing. I sing all the songs. And I start quoting the scriptures before the folks even get on the bus. As I'm going to my terminal to pick them up, then when they get there, I said, well, Lord, you know, I'm not going to pray for nothing but them seeing Christ in me. And that they find out they're not doing this with these jobs and these different things they do without Christ. And so when they get off the vehicle, I tap the steering wheel for each person to remember that I'm praying for them. You know, this is what I do for myself to know this is what we have to do. But something happened. I told my wife, give me some Febreze. And I said, people will change if things change in the environment. Well, I know this. So I Febreze the bus every morning. And people get on and smile. And then I begin to speak to them. And I've told some of my, good morning, welcome aboard. You have a powerful day. God bless you. I mean, all of these things, this has caught on to them. Everybody speaks to me. And so when they come and did their inspection, they said, the people are coming up telling me what a good driver you are. And the inspector said, you ain't that great a driver, but everybody that ride on this bus think you a good driver. The inspector's an old man, so I understand where he coming from, because I ain't. But God is a good God, and we have to remember that when we trust in him, we have to trust in him in all things. Because the devil wants us to be fearful. You know, I understand that there's terrorism and there's bombing and there's this and there's that. And, you know, I got some tickets to the movies that we didn't have for what? Is it 2 years? Year? Year and a half. And I've been threatening to go to the movies for a year and a half. And so the guy shot somebody this week here. And I said, I'm glad I missed the movies this weekend. It is something about that hedge the pastor was talking about. God will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. You know, quit saying something told me. Something ain't told you nothing. Where does something live? God is speaking to you, and you need to listen to him. Every one of you to miss death by this much. Because God said, don't turn that corner. Don't go with them. Amen? I thank God this morning for being here. I thank God for my pastor and my friend. And all that he's done and what he's doing. This is my New Year message. I am happy about the New Year. God, I told Pastor, you know, we went through a puzzling thing last year, and he was so concerned about me. You know, there was a paradigm shift. Yeah, it's a paradigm. I wasn't going to holler it out. Yeah, I wasn't going to holler it out. You were already tuning up here. I said, what is he doing? It was a paradigm shift in my life. I had to stop what I had been doing for 20 years or more and let it go. And then after that, a month later, my mom died. And before that, we was going through a legal struggle. You know, all of this. And then finally, the Lord spoke to me coming out that courtroom. And he said, Pastor said, well, you ain't got to come here. I said, man, I could care less. I'm through. I'm through. I come back and tell my wife, we through. What are we going to do? I said, I don't know, but we going home. And so I found that as long as I held on to things that I'm through with, I could not make this paradigm shift. Does that make sense? As long as I was doing the old things and having the old thoughts that I had while I was struggling, I could not make the paradigm shift to living in peace. Do y'all understand what I'm trying to tell you this morning? So it was no accident that God remade me. It was no accident that he sent my advocation into a total different direction. I ain't had a job working for nobody since I was 28 years old. And so the people says at Metro says, we ain't never hired nobody 65 years old. Ain't nobody ever passed the physical this old. And I said, really? And the God blessed me to go yesterday. I was going to see my cousin who lives in Tacoma. We're a strange family. We don't speak for years, and all of a sudden, we start hunting for each other. And so I go to Tacoma, and I end up going to the furthest part of Tacoma, the parkland, see my grandbaby, and she came home and was asleep the whole day. So I left there and went to my cousin's house, and this man is on dialysis in a wheelchair. He's had a kidney and it's failed. He professed to love the Lord. And I walked into his house and he saw me and he said, man, I am so glad to see you. I said, really? I said, I'm glad to see you too. He says, yeah, I Googled your name. And somehow I found out everything you've done in your life. You know, you've owned this and done this and all that. He was telling me, I was listening, really? You know, I said, how did you find that out, you know? And he says, and now you're working after being on dialysis for 6-7 years and being sick as you were last time I saw you. You're amazing. I said, no, that's God. And he was sitting in his chair and he kept looking at me. He says, look how healthy you look. You know, and I'm trying to be reciprocatory, you say, reciprocate to his statement and tell him, you look good too. You know, and he did, you know, compared to what he could look like. And so he says, I don't understand how you passed that physical. I said, nobody but God. This is what I want to talk about this morning. And it all ties into where we've been. We're going to look into Mark, the 5th chapter, and we're going to start out with the 36th verse. I just want to teach a little lesson and do a little Sunday school this morning. I really want to tie it all into where we're at as a group, because we're all in this journey together. And so what we want to do is understand some things. Now, I believe in the old path because the Bible says it's the good path. It is the path that leads to righteousness. And I need to have a light unto my feet so I can stay in that path. Does this make sense? So the scripture says, do you have that yet? And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both piece that was taken and taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man put a new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottle shall perish. But new wine, somebody say new wine, must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. Amen for those reading. I was looking at Luke, the 5th chapter, and the 36th verse. I'm known to go to the wrong chapter. Excuse me. In this scripture, we find Jesus speaking to his disciples. And we ask questions sometimes because we don't know. People that operate in ignorance are scary. You know, like people that come up with statements that they don't know nothing about, but they make it. And you ask the question, how do you know this? Well, the new answer is, I read it on the internet. Yes. So we see Jesus with his disciples, and above this, we find that he's answering a question that started out about fasting. The Pharisees start challenging the fact that Jesus and his disciples, they didn't see him fasting like John's disciples and the other disciples of other sects. And so they said, why don't we fast like they fast? And this is the reason Jesus gave. He said, why would you fast to have the presence of me and I'm right here? In other words, we fast to get closer to Jesus. That makes sense? And so the statement is, why would you fast like they were fasting and I'm right here? And so the whole thing came to him saying, that you cannot do old things in this new move, in this shift in a paradigm. You got to leave old things in the past. Well, my mama did it this way. Well, this might have been fine for your mama. You know, that might have been great. But right now, there's a new paradigm and relationship that you must have with Jesus. Does this make sense this morning? They were concerned that it didn't look right. It didn't feel right because everybody was challenging them about their new religion. I'll tell God thank you this morning. He goes on to say that the question, can you make friends of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? Does that make sense? Can the bridegroom traditional? The traditional portion of the ceremony is that you didn't eat till the bridegroom showed up. Right? And so, but the time the bridegroom showed up, you can't make people at a party not eat. Because they were waiting for the bridegroom to show up. So why would you expect people not to eat? This is how Jesus broke it down to them. That's what they understood. Then he goes on to say that, but the time will come. This is what you have to understand of where we're at right now. The only way Jesus is here is through his spirit. Right? Jesus is no longer walking in the flesh. So in order for us to get closer to him, we must fast and pray. That's the purpose of fasting and praying. It's apropos that we're on this fast because it is time for us to change up and get new bottles to store the fresh anointing. The wine is the representation of the fresh anointing. And it says that nothing old can hold the new. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We look at the fresh anointing coming into our lives, but we still got these old isms and schisms. One thing about wine, if you know anything about wine, fresh wine needs to be put into a situation. It can be vented and expand. Old bottles and old wine bags cannot hold fresh wine. God is putting a new anointing in us because we're opening up this new year with fasting and praying and asking for more of him and looking for a fresh anointing to move us today. Come on and tell God thank you. Some of us have been looking for a change from last year, but you can't change if you're still doing last year's memo. You need to get a fresh anointing. But before the anointing is going to work, you got to get a new vessel. You got to become a new vessel. God is waiting to do something new in your life. God is waiting for you to trust him. God is waiting to put his new anointing in this church so that we'll stop having fears and isms and schisms and doubts in his people. I looked at the scripture and it made so much sense. Otherwise, let me just break it down. It ain't gonna work. We're fasting and praying. Do you know what you're fasting and praying for? We need fresh oil. We need a new anointing. We need a way to reach people through the Spirit of God. Old year is over. You know, I was thinking, I said, this is the new year's for me. I got a fresh anointing. I'm about to blow up. I'm spreading myself. I'm going to let God use me. I'm going to say, I asked my wife, I said, is it a sin if God gives you something to do and you don't do it? And my great oracle said, yes, it is. I knew it. So God is giving you things to do, but you're sitting back saying, I'm out of place. Well, let me say this. As long as you ain't stealing and burning the church down, if you're doing something to build the kingdom of God, you are not out of place. If you, God has put an anointing in you to do something, spiritual folks will recognize it. Come on and tell him thank you this morning. This fresh anointing and this wine that we have in us today is not that old wine from last year. We've been through, we didn't use that up with all the setbacks, the breakdowns, the letdowns, the hurt. All that's been burned out because God says, I got something new for you. And we're going to need this in this month, this year. We're going to need a fresh anointing. He's changing advocations. He's changing jobs. He's changing minds. He's changing lives. And we got to be filled up with his spirit. We got to let his spirit operate in us. We got to move without fear. I thank God because he has taken the fear out of me. You know, I used to have my own personal fears. You know, but I begin to understand some stuff about it at this age. It's how you live it. It ain't about how you die. It's how you live. God wants us to live to the edge of our possibilities in Christ Jesus. He wants us to step out on faith. He wants us to launch out into the deep. He wants us to see beyond what we can see. He wants us to understand that there is no limit to who he can do for you. There is no setback in God. He does not forget you. He has not left you. He is not slack concerning his promise. God's a big God. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. He's ready. He's just waiting on you. He's just waiting on you. I can't do nothing because my wife is holding me back. My singing career can't take off. You know what? I believe when God is ready to move, he'll move. Pastor said, well, what you gonna do? I said, he's remaking me. You know, he's remaking me. I'm gonna tell you something. He's remaking this right eye. I always ask him questions, and he know everything. I said, Pastor, I got floaters in this eye. My pastor said, everybody does. I said, okay. The Lord blessed me to start getting shots in my eye. I went to the doctor, and he said, you got an aneurysm back here. And, you know, you can lose your eyesight. And for some reason, it didn't bother me. Because all of a sudden, I said, no weapon. And so I said, well, what we going to do? He said, well, let's try this. I said, okay. So the first time I went back, and it improved a little bit. Went back last weekend, and they did it again. And I can see the clock, the numbers on the clock. I mean, I can see faces with this eye. You know, it's nothing God can't do. You better trust him. I got history with him. I could write a book on how God can do things. Hallelujah. He's ready to use you. But you got to get some new bags. Because I'm going to tell you something. What God has in store for you You can't, there's no limit. And you can't house it in how you've been doing. Does this make sense today? If you've been slack, you got to pick it up. If you've been using excuses, you got to put them in a sack, put them on the back porch. Y'all ain't got back porches no more, huh? Just get rid of all excuses. You know, we really got to look at our living so God can use us. Well, I would have fasted, but you know, I had to do this and I had to do that, you know. I'm somebody that got to eat, else I go into conniptions, huh, Jane? But I found out if I give up something and if I pick up my prayer life, God will move. If I do something for him, he'll do more for me. If I make this move, he'll make another move. If I take one step, he'll take two. Once you surrender and trust God, quit holding on to that old stuff. I told somebody, I went, my son called me, and I could hear it in his voice. Most of the time, I ignore a lot of stuff, but I heard this in his spirit. His mother had heart failure. They didn't know it. He just said that she was weak and she was sick. But I got up and I was going to go to Tacoma and I said, well, what hospital is it? And the Lord said, you need to go over there. And so I got in there and I listened to what she was saying, and they got these new rules. If you ain't dead, almost dead, we can't admit you. You know, if you go in there complaining about chest pains and arms weak and this, that, and other, oh, no. I said, okay, so what do you think is wrong, doctor? He said, well, it sounds like to me it's congenital heart failure. I said, I think it is too. I said, all this other stuff she's talking about is byproduct. Don't you think so, doctor? He said, well, she's got to say it. I said, tell him this is byproduct that you think is congenital heart failure and you need to be looked at. Because they can't get her into an outside doctor for 4 weeks. And then they can't see her until Monday. So they're going to send her home. I said, no, you're not. We're going to admit her. How you think about that, doctor? He said, I'll start the paperwork. We got to listen to what God is giving us to do. I told my son, I said, look, man, you don't know how to pray. That's when you call me. You know I'm going to come over here and pray. And I'm going to pray on my way over here. And I'm going to figure out what God wants me to do to get the job done. Wonder why we're fasting? Because we're the light on the hill. Our acts of fasting is holding this world together. We are the new Sinu that's holding this thing together. Oh, come on and tell God thank you. This world would be turned upside down if it wasn't for us and us like us. This is what we have to understand. God has a message in you. But not only that, he has you to bring deliverance. He has a delivered people to go out and speak deliverance to enslaved folks. I'm almost through. In my conclusion, people, you know why this church is don't have all the pews filled? Because we're in a land of blinded and enslaved people that can't understand that they're blind. I heard something on the news, there's 50 million people in slavery in the world today. And there's something like 75,000 enslaved in the United States. But there's a portion of those people that were born in slavery. So the norm in their life is slavery. Well, you were born in sin. So the norm of your life is sin. And until somebody enlighten you to let you know there's a better life, what you do is normal. And this is what we're up against. You know, you wonder why did this nut take a gun to the movie theater? Sin. He got drunk, got a gun, and went to the movies and shot somebody. Show me the logic. It's sin. And this is what you, as that light, and if you don't do it, Jesus said you're worse than salt that has lost its flavor. You just need to be walked on. This is our study to such a day. Jesus said to them, we're fasting for a reason. That's basically what I'm trying to say. It is not a game. It ain't just that I was hungry. We're fasting to ask him to operate in a more definitive notion in our lives. Lord, tell me what you want me to do. Said, Lord, if you send me, I'll go. This is the New Year's, and we looked at the celebration of New Year's and this whole month. We should be looking at what God is doing for us this month, because this is setting the beat, setting the time, setting the activity that we need to see what's going on in our lives. And in the process of that, I'm going to tell you that I truly believe that God wants us with this new message and this new anointing to bring his first fruits. This is not taught enough. I'm sorry, but we need to set a tone of prosperity. We need to say, because I'm prosperous, I'm bringing my first fruit and giving it back to God. And let that be the temple. I'm not talking about your tithes. You owe that. As your pastor would say, like I'm a sin, you owe that. And if you don't do it, you're a thief. Look at Malachi 3:10, is it? That's what he says. If you don't do it, you're a thief. And how many times do you have to be rob God before you become a legitimate thief? You know, don't get mad at me. Get mad at the Bible. Folks come in, my sister, I don't know why the church need all that money. Well, you don't go to church, that's why. If you don't go, you don't need to know. You know, it's a catch 22. If we look at how we treat God, do we meet up to how he treats us? Do you give what God, like God gives to you? That's scary. You know, I mean, I was thinking, I said, Lord, I want you to bless. I ain't had no money for a long time. It's like a doctor's prescription. Felt like the Lord, the doctor took me off money. Sister Anna's faith. I've been so broke, you know? But I told God, I said, Lord, now that you have blessed me, I'm going to be a blessing to you. I want to bring my first fruits this February. I would suggest if you really want to be blessed this year, figure out what you want from God and bring your first fruits so he'll know you're serious. This is no super hocus pocus stuff. A lot of folks think they, when it's offering time, if I could find a dollar after they'd have spent hundreds of dollars, if I can give it to the church, I'm cool with God. What if God did you that way? Huh? And I mean, a dollar might be all you had, But if you start thinking about what you need to do, one time this year, give your first fruit and let God be a blessing to you. Pastor, if we could just do that, because the church, you know, we don't have a lot of overhead, but we have a lot of desire. And I'm going to tell you something. Desire is expensive. When I get broke, I stay home. Ain't no reason to go out because it costs. Does that make sense? We want to do things here. And it don't take no 10,000 people to make things happen. The first fruits is in the Bible. Let's look, read it in Exodus 23. We'll talk about it. Leviticus 2 and 12. Leviticus 2 and 14 and Leviticus 23 and 9. The first fruits is in the Bible. This is not a ploy to get your money. Because you know what? God got more money than you. He's proved it every day. You know, how many of us has ended up with more month than we've had money, but made it anyway? Does that make sense? Jesus has said it, and he meant it. We need to have a new vessel to hold this blessing that he has for you. Somebody want to be blessed. Want to be set free, want to be healed. You need new bottles, which is your new vessel, to hold this. We need to be asking God to renew us, his spirit in us. Will you stand with me, please? I want to pray this morning a special prayer.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.